May it please the court. My name is Frank Kelly, and I'm appearing on behalf of Northern Natural Gas Company, and I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal. There are two issues before the court. The first issue is whether Section 4F of the Natural Gas Act prohibits the Commission from considering an extension of market-based storage rates after construction of the capacity. The Commission's interpretation that it does is an unreasonably restrictive interpretation of the statute. The second issue is whether the Commission's interpretation should be applied prospectively in light of Northern's reliance on the Commission's 2007 tariff order, which expressly said that Northern could seek an extension of its market-based rate authority at any time before the expiration of the 20-year contracts. The Commission's claim that Northern's reliance was unreasonable is contrary to the express findings in the Commission's 2007 tariff order. In the Energy Policy Act of 2005, Congress added Section 4F to the Natural Gas Act and authorized the Commission to approve market-based rates for new storage capacity, regardless of whether an applicant possessed market power. Northern was the first company to apply for market-based rate authority for its Redfield storage expansion. The expansion was sold out and fully subscribed under 20-year contracts. The Commission approved Northern's request in 2006. The Commission noted that Northern had not submitted or proposed customer protections that were required under 4F for the period after the expiration of the 20-year contracts, and therefore limited Northern's market-based authority to 20 years.
The contracts, there were no contracts for a term exceeding 20 years, were there?
They were all 20-year contracts, Your Honor. That's right. In 2007,
it approved what Northern placed before it at the time.
That's right, Your Honor. In 2007, the Commission held that Northern could submit an application for an extension of its market-based rates after the 20-year period by submitting customer protections, a filing for customer protections, any time during the 20-year period of the initial contracts.
During that proceeding, was the 4F issue teased out in the way that it now has been, for example?
Not as fully, but it was addressed, but not as fully as it is now. That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So if the Commission...
Have you moved to your second argument? Because your first argument really is wholly independent of the 2007 order.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Maybe you should try to get your first argument out before we worry about the...
That's fine. In 2008, Northern constructed the Redfield storage expansion. But then 2010 and 2011, in the orders under review, the Commission determined that there was a statutory bar under Section 4F to considering an extension of market-based rates if the facilities had already been constructed. Now, there's nothing in the statute, legislative history, or the Commission's regulations that limits the Commission discretion to consider an extension of market-based rates after construction.
So what do you take to be the purpose of 4F? Right, this is a special rule allowing market-based rates even in the presence of market power.
The purpose was to develop new storage infrastructure. That's what Congress had in mind.
So it's important to fulfill that purpose that a pipeline before making the investment has assurance that it can charge market-based rates, and presumably it negotiates contracts to figure out what the market-based rates are actually going to prove to be, right?
So
it gets the contracts, it gets FERC approval, and then it makes the investment, okay? So that seems to fulfill the purpose of 4F, does it not?
Well, part of Northern's petition, which was approved in 2006, identified, and the commission identified long-term risks in the storage field. These are long-term operations.
Right. So, I mean.
So you could have said, well, we can't build unless you give us the right to market rates in perpetuity. But you didn't ask for that. And all you were guaranteed was the 20 years.
That's all we were guaranteed. What?
Right.
I'm sorry.
So I'm thinking about the next person, not you, okay? Because for purposes of deciding the meaning of the statute, doesn't matter what happened to you. I appreciate it matters to you, and I appreciate that your other arguments relate specifically to you. But for purposes of the statute, if we hold today that they're right, FERC's right, that once it's constructed, FERC doesn't have to give any additional agreement about market rates, then if any party wants to build new capacity, they know they have to get approval from FERC up front. And FERC knows that if giving 20 years isn't enough to get new capacity, it could give 30 years or 50 years or 20 years plus the promise of renewal or anything else. So why would the statute's purpose in any way, to take Judge Williams' question, be interfered with if FERC's position were upheld here?
Well, everyone would have notice at that point, but the commission has sort of engrafted upon itself restrictions that aren't in the statute. There's no logical explanation, and the commission hasn't come up with any why Congress would prohibit the commission from considering an extension request after the capacity has been.
You said the commission could go either way on this, right?
As a matter of policy. The commission could, as a matter of policy, subject, of course, to court review, but the commission could
so
adopt.
You're not saying the statute unambiguously supports the idea that they must be open to extensions.
The statute does not support that they must. They must.
The commission could go either way. They could say we're not going to allow extensions, or we are going to allow.
As a matter of policy.
Their argument is they thought they were bound.
That's a mistake under our precedents when an agency mistakenly thinks they're required by a statute as opposed to exercising discretion that the statute gives them.
That's correct. That's correct, Your Honor. And there's no reason why Congress would have limited the Commission's discretion in this regard.
Go ahead.
In other words, you have a provision for incentive to make an investment. And normally, it would seem to me that an investor makes a decision to invest on the basis of what his options and what he's able to work out at the time of investment, not 20 years later. 20 years later, the investment is history. He may want some more money. I'm sure he does want more money, but
it's not history. That's the point. These storage fields are the risks associated with these are not 3 or 4 years. They're for the life of the storage field. They involve whether it's additional wells, treating facilities, base gas, and that's.
Well, now are you talking about new investment in the storage facilities to handle the risks?
New investment that may be required not only during the 20-year contracts, but may be required beyond the 20 years. And that's why Northern had the opportunity, at least under the first commission order.
Well, I'm not sure that anything the commission has said bars it from allowing market rates to cover new investment. Is there something in the wording of the rehearing order that bars market rates for new investment?
Sure.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, it's market-based rates beyond the 20 years. So if there was new investment required in this Redfield expansion capacity, then that would not be covered.
But what's the language that best supports that reading? I mean, you know, only for the initial auction of capacity. So I suppose for years 21 through 40, if there's investment that has to be made to keep the storage facilities working in that period, it would seem that under what the Commission is saying, it could give market-based rates for those.
If you're right, Your Honor, we'd accept that.
Well, we certainly want to know from
it's not counsel. Not the way we read the order.
Because, if the Commission says no to that, then the logic of its decision and the logic of its interpretation of what Congress did goes out the window.
Let me turn, if I might, Your Honor, with my time, to the second issue. Northern's reliance on the Commission's 2007 tariff order is clear. The Commission made express findings. They rejected Xcel's claim that only cost-based rates would apply after 20 years. The Commission stated in the 2007 tariff order that its 2006 declaratory order did not prohibit Northern from seeking an extension. And it also stated that Northern had the opportunity to seek an extension any time within the period of the 20-year contracts. It could seek an extension of market-based rates. Northern should be entitled to reasonable...
Particularly in light of Northern's position, the sentence at page 340 that you question so severely, or you rely on so strongly, is surely dictum. It's totally unnecessary to the denial of the relief that Xcel sought.
Xcel's single...
As Congress likes to do, it kicked the issue down the road.
Xcel's single issue in their protest was that Northern should not be allowed to seek an extension of market-based rates. That's what Xcel wanted the Commission to say.
What it wanted was a right of first refusal provision that directly addressed this hazard.
And the
Commission said, we don't have to change the tariff because we can see how things appear at the time. Maybe there would have been, on my hypothetical of new investment required for the storage facilities, maybe there would have been market-based rates in year 21.
We don't see it as dicta at all, because that's what Xcel wanted.
Why did you argue staunchly that the issue of market-based rates in the out years did not need to be decided? It seems to me that was a strong and powerful argument.
We didn't see at any issue either with the 2006 declaratory order or Section 4F that would have barred the Commission from addressing that. But the Commission decided to address Xcel's protest, to address Xcel's request that Northern be barred from exceeding cost-based rates after 20
years. It chose to address it in loosely the way you describe. That is to say, it chose to include a dictum. You were right in your position that it didn't need to say anything about it, and they somewhat disregarded your caution, but that didn't make it any less dictum.
Well, it's hard to say it's dictum when the Commission specifically said accelerate.
That's what dictum is. It's something a court specifically said that it didn't need to say.
Well,
here it's what a Commission said that it didn't need to say.
If the Commission had just... They could have approved the tariff language without commenting on Xcel's protest, but instead they addressed Xcel's protest and said specifically that the 2006 declaratory order did not limit Northern to cost-based rates after 20 years, that it could file and seek market-based rates. That's not dictum, I don't believe, Your Honor.
It is if you were right in your contention that there was no need for the Commission to address this issue in order to deny Xcel.
We did say there was no need. We did say there was no need to address it, but the Commission chose to address
powerful.
It. The Commission chose to address it.
Spend all day debating what's dictum. And we have.
Under these circumstances, the Commission's express findings in the 2007 tariff order, which told Northern that it could make an application to extend its market-based rates after 20 years, establishes reasonable reliance, and considerations of basic fairness and notice require that the Commission's decision be prospective. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Beth Pasella for FERC. Let me start with the language of Section 4F, if I could. The language plainly says that the Commission may authorize natural gas company provide storage and storage-related services for new storage capacity if the Commission determines that market-based rates are necessary to encourage the construction of that storage
capacity. So what was going on in 07? The Commission just missed the boat in 07?
Commission accepted Northern's answer. It doesn't normally accept answers to
but
protest.
The commission specifically said something that's contrary to what you just read as the plain reading of the statute.
Your Honor, the Commission accepted Northern's answer, which specifically said you don't have to look at what 4F means in this case. It's irrelevant. And so the Commission, again, I think it probably is dictum. I wish I had said that in my brief. But even if it's not
okay,
dictum,
it's not
something that you can rely that Northern could rely on.
Put aside the reliance point, but it's contrary to your current interpretation of the statute. They couldn't have said we'll consider it at that later date.
That's not right, Your Honor. Please,
why?
If I could explain. Because what Northern explained in its answer at JA33 is, let me just get to my page. It explained the reason why it was irrelevant. I'm sorry, just give me a moment. Northern said, again, whether 4F would authorize such authority is not an issue in this proceeding. By adding this right of first refusal sentence, we're just providing the expansion shippers their right to retain firm storage at the end of their agreements. They all entered
into the answer now, right?
Yes.
But in the FERC, and please educate me, but in the FERC order in 2007, it says if sometime before the expiration of the contract, Northern proposes additional protections against the exercise of market power, et cetera, et cetera, the Commission will determine at that time whether the protections are adequate and the extent to which market-based rates should apply beyond the primary term of the service agreement. Now, under the current interpretation of the statute that you're articulating, you couldn't go beyond
That's right, Your Honor. But my point about what they said at JA 333 is they went on and said,
what the Commission said.
No, I understand, but I'm explaining. The Commission accepted their answer and relied on it. Mm-hmm. And the Commission said, we accept their answer because it has helped us in making our determination in this 2007 service agreement order. And they said, these contracts are all very long contracts. Over the 20-year period that these contracts go on, the Commission's policy may change. It's unclear what the applicable recourse rate will be at the time. There might be a rolled-in rate, an incremental rate, or a market-based rate. So they told the Commission over 20 years, your policy and or anything could change. And so, again, as Judge Williams said, they kick it forward. Don't decide that now. And so when the Commission said that, it's possible.
But the Commission should have said, and I know you can't say this, but the Commission should have said, by the way, beyond 20 years, you're not going to be able to take advantage of this section.
Well, except because Northern had told the Commission, we don't know what's going to happen in 20 years. That's true. If you had told the Commission before 2006 that there would be, before 2005, that there would be a way for someone to get market-based rates while they have market power, I would have told you were crazy because things change, laws change, and things are enacted.
You would have said that to Judge Kavanaugh.
Well, you're right. I would, Your Honor. I would have said it more respectfully, I hope.
Yes.
My point is, you never know, and that's what Northern told them. We don't know what's going to happen, so it's possible. First of all, there's no question the Commission just didn't look at 4F. They just didn't look at it. They were told you don't have to look at it.
Xcel's objection, as I understand it, again, educate me, is that permitting Northern to charge market-based rates in perpetuity is contrary to the declaratory order.
That's right, Your Honor.
And the commission could have answered, it's not in perpetuity, it's 20 years. Instead, the commission said, well, we'll consider the consumer protections down the road. We don't need to address that right now, which is premised, I think, on an assumption that it can go beyond the 20 years.
But if you look at what the commission actually said in the 2000, they're just the entire discussion of the commission's discussion in the 2007 service agreement order is only really responding to the right of first refusal argument. There's no question about that. There is this throw off sentence where they say, if you're able to,
well, it's really.
But if you look at paragraph,
we all love to delete one sentence from things we've written. But this is a very.
You only get one.
Yes, I'd like more than one. But this is not a good sentence for you.
Well, if you look at paragraph 17 again of that on JA 339, it's talking. The commission does not agree with Xcel's and Merck's interpretation of the right of first refusal provision in Northern's proposed pro forma service agreement. And then the commission goes on in paragraph 18 to explain why, and then in paragraph 19 again to explain why, because what the commission is going to do at the time is we don't know what the rate's going to be in 20 years. And so if they are paying the maximum rate, they're going to have this regulatory ROFR, which is what they're asking for clarification on. And if there are market-based rates, or if there's some other kind of rate, a discount rate, then they're not going to have a regulatory ROFR. That was the premise and the purpose of this order, not to decide 4F.
Now, suppose I disagree with you on that. Mm-hmm. What you were going under reliance. Well, it would have been a mistake to rely on this anyway. Can you?
And as the commission pointed out in the hearing order here at JA 6-7, paragraph 8, even if the 2007 agreement order could be interpreted to order a possible extension of market-based rates, it did not analyze whether such rates would be available under 4F. There's no way that under this court's precedent you could reasonably rely on that throw-off sentence, but that simple one sentence to say we now have market-based rate authority.
Reliance, this is an interesting question, but you know it's a possibility you'll get it, as opposed to having zero chance of getting it.
Then what you would do if you were a reasonable person, you would immediately seek clarification of the no one sought rehearing of the 2007.
Why would you get clarification then? Because you know there's some possibility, and the commission has said, okay, we're going to address this down the road, but we know today at least there's a possibility if we come up with adequate consumer protections that we'll
in a circumstance where you've told the commission that 4F is irrelevant. In a circumstance, I just don't know how you can then rely on that sentence to say we now have a real possibility, as opposed to a dicta level possibility. In that circumstance, it just isn't reasonable reliance. And they also had the opportunity in the 2008 certificate proceeding, because there's two times you're supposed to come in and ask for two opportunities to come in and ask for market-based rates under 4F in a declaratory order proceeding, and they asked for certain market-based rates and they got those certain market-based rates. They also could have come in the 2008 certificate proceeding and said, you said this in the 2007 service agreement order. We want to let you know that we think that means we have a real possibility for market-based rates in the future. We actually think it means we can get market-based rates in the future if we only propose consumer protections. And they had that opportunity and didn't take it.
Can I ask you about the language of the statute, too? Because it does talk about new storage capacity, market-based rates for new storage capacity. And it doesn't, I guess I read the statute as not addressing extensions. And it's talking about where you're creating something new as opposed to extending something. Why should we view this as speaking to that issue, this statutory language? Do you understand the question?
I don't understand the question.
Capacity. What it doesn't speak to, it doesn't say, for example, once it's granted for a particular period of time, it can't be extended.
I understand. Okay, so I see what you're saying. Yeah. I think that the commission saw new as ambiguous. Mm-hmm. And what it relies on for
I thought you were saying it's unambiguous.
No, I think that the provision, the second provision, necessary to encourage construction, I think that probably is plain. I think new, however, is ambiguous, and I think what the commission where the commission decided that was in paragraph 12, which is at JA7, I believe. Find that. That's right, JA7, paragraph 12, where the commission explained that Congress passed 4F, as your honors have already pointed out, to encourage the development of storage that would not be developed without market-based rates. Everyone agrees that that is the purpose of, there's no question that that's the purpose of Congress in enacting this. Congress was not establishing a mechanism by which pipelines could seek market-based rates for already constructed storage. So the commission could have interpreted new to mean it's new post-2005, but it chose, based on the legislative history, to interpret it to mean new when you're making your request. Because, again, the whole point is we want – there's a concern. The whole purpose of this is there's a concern there's not enough storage. So they're making an exception to the traditional market-based rate authority, which is you can have market-based rates even if you have market power. That's a pretty big deal.
Can we pursue the hypothetical developed in the colloquy between
Mr.
Kelly and me? It because of the risks of which he speaks, which at least I, not knowing anything about it, have to assume are a real possibility. Additional investment is needed. Now, of course, they're bound on the first 20 years. They have the market rates embedded in contracts, so presumably they would have at least a very hard time extracting more for that period. But is there any reason why they couldn't say, look, we can only keep this storage facility really going by substantial investment, which will have a life expectancy well beyond these 20 years. It should, to do it efficiently, it will have a life expectancy beyond those 20 years. We want assurance of ability to get market-based rates for another 10 years, for another 20, whatever. What is the commission, by its ruling here, barred from denying market-based rates for that, as Mr. Kelly seemed to contend?
First, I'll point out you can always apply for market-based rates under the traditional method. Just because
I understand,
right?
But they
always have that possibility of just getting market-based rates.
But I'm talking about under 4F. In other words, new investment is contemplated. The pipeline says it would be senseless to make this investment if we can only get cost-based rates in the. Or at least it would be highly too risky for us to do it if we could only get cost-based rates in some out-year period. Therefore, we ask, conditioned upon our, of course, making the investment, for the authority to charge market-based rates for years 21 through 30.
I don't think that under 4F, they could come in on that basis.
Why is that?
Because it would require there to be new storage capacity.
Wouldn't there be an argument that FERC so far has not addressed that after 20 years, this capacity is dead, that is, without more investment, can't continue because it's deteriorating. And if you want new capacity, namely the same capacity but now available when before it would not have been, you'll have to give us market rates. That's not an argument.
It is possible that the commission then could see that as new capacity because it's no longer existing capacity.
I mean, you abandon your whole theory.
Yeah, that's the case is over.
4F, right? Unless where it is needed to encourage new capacity, new in the sense of newly functional, if you're saying you can't allow market-based rates then, I don't know what you're saying about 4F.
It's hard for me to speak to, I don't want to take the coward's way out, but that does seem like a new kind of issue that I wouldn't want to interpret. I mean, I'm not the expert, I'm just...
You have understandably wrapped yourself around a purposive interpretation of 4F, and just standing there, you ought to be able to tell us whether that purpose would or would not be fulfilled by allowing market-based rates
I don't think you can get around that it has to be for new storage capacity. So the commission would have to, and it would have to be encouraging
Garland,
that construction.
Garland extended my hypo to make clear that this storage capacity would be defunct at the end of 20 years, absent this new investment.
Well, then that would be fine, as long as, as long as it's a new storage capacity, then that's not a problem, as long as they're doing construction to make that new storage capacity work.
You said in response to Judge Kavanaugh that you saw ambiguity in new. It was when it was hooked up with Encourage storage capacity that you and the commission, actually the commission, came out with its clear interpretation.
But let me point something out. Again, and I'd like this opportunity just for a moment to talk about the risks, because I think that
staying on this, what's the dispute if what you just said to Judge Garland is correct? Maybe I should ask this on rebuttal. What's the current dispute?
Because Northern just really wants to continue to have market-based rates when they didn't ask for
They want to continue to have the opportunity for market-based rates, as I understand it.
Well, let me say.
And I thought FERC had said no, you're not going to have that opportunity in the out years. And then you just said to Judge Garland, yes, you will have that opportunity in the out years.
No, because
so I'm confused about what.
I have not seen this argument before that they're going to have additional investment that they need to make. They're just saying that their risks that they took on originally.
We're always asking counsel to give us.
I'm sorry.
I think you said to Judge Garland there is a potential hypothetical argument that could be made that would actually cause FERC to back away from its current interpretation.
But it wouldn't be backing away from its current interpretation is my point, because to me it's the same thing. You no longer have storage capacity. It was added to the system under 4F. They had market-based rates for it. Now it's gone from the system, so it would again be added back into the system. If I'm understanding the hypothetical
you're
correctly.
You're backing yourself into the corner where it's only one or the other. It's got to be zero capacity on December 31st of year 20, in which case you see the criteria as being met, or some capacity. There's some capacity.
Well, there could be some that would make market-based rates and not. It could be portion.
So you're willing to go that far?
I don't see that as being any. I think that's consistent with what the commission said, right?
Okay. Now I have another question. That is, both in the briefing and in parts of the orders, it seemed to me there was sometimes a sort of vague shuffling back and forth between altogether new contracts at the end of the 20 years and contracts, arrangements with new shippers for the turnback capacity. Mm-hmm. And the commission appeared to clearly resolve that the market-based rates could be applied for the 20-year period to the turnback capacity, right?
The commission did say that. It said that you can have rates up to the market-based rates for turnback capacity.
Right. They can only be up to the market because no one's going to pay more than the market, right?
Well, but the market-based rates that are set in these specific contracts. It's not that you can have auction of any market-based rates.
Is that in some way an undermining of the commission's apparent interpretation of the statute? Because if Northern went ahead without locking in an answer to that question, it appears that it had sufficient incentive to make the investment. But in the ruling on turnback capacity, the commission did not look into that. It just said you can get that.
I think they really are looking at it more as a cost-based rate at that point, because
the market-based rate could continue.
No, I understand. No, they said a rate up to the market-based rate can continue. So the commission's looking at that as what was necessary.
That means anything of consequence. Well, that as between cost-based and market-based, the pipeline can charge market-based.
Right. The commission said
market-based being limited by what the market says, right?
Well, except those market-based rates already exist. So it's not, they didn't say you can just do market-based rates. You can't go out and have an auction and set new market-based rates for those contracts during this period. You can use the pre-existing. Right. But here,
that was a source of return on the investment that Northern, in fact, at the time it made its investment, had not locked in.
That's right. I think the commission threw Northern a bone by that. Really,
well,
you know.
I don't think they had to do that.
I think they. No, I'm saying I just think they were nice to him.
Well, like, is that really all there is? So
it's a bone.
Well, but you see what I'm saying? I'm just saying we want to give you a way to set rates. We don't have recourse rates for these market-based rates. They're not set. So this is the commission is essentially setting the market-based rate.
They wanted the purpose of the statute was to provide an incentive to provide new storage capacity.
That's
they were to get market rates for the new storage capacity.
That's right, Your Honor.
So all of a sudden, one of the customers stopped asking for that capacity because that customer went bankrupt or whatever other reason was provided. So the commission is saying we told them that to provide capacity, we would let them have market rates.
Right.
They provided this capacity. They already had market rates for that amount of capacity.
And you can step
so
into their shoes.
So that's all you're doing is another person is stepping into the shoes.
Exactly. That is what
fundamentally
the
interpretation of the grant of authority to charge market-based rates that was already granted.
Right. That's right. And
I think
and
that
on this
sounds
risk
better
point,
than throwing the
you're right. You're right.
Phone.
I'm sorry. I do think that the commission said we want, you know, we're finding a way to make sure you can take care of this, so we're making sure that you're taken care of. Again, and I think Judge Garland said it a lot better than I did. But if I could point out at JA 236-37, which the commission, which is Northern's petition for declaratory order, they talk about their risks specifically. They say, and this is them saying, we need these market-based rates for this period to take on the risks of this project. The prospective customers are willing to pay market-based rates for the terms reflected in their binding precedent agreements, and in exchange, Northern will make the required investment and thereby assume the operational risk inherent in the 2008 storage expansion. This is in the declarative, the commission quotes this in, it's JA 236-37, it's the petition for declaratory order, and the commission quotes this in its rehearing order explaining you took these risks on just all you asked for was market-based rates for this first 20-year contract period, and that's what you got, and you knew, you said explicitly, we're taking on all the risks of this expansion, because there are risks in this expansion. There's no question about that. But you're taking on, Northern said itself, we're taking on the required investment and thereby assume the operational risk inherent in this expansion.
Now, operational risk might be different from capital investment risk.
Well, if they have continued capital investment risk regarding that, they're going to get cost-based, I mean, they can file for cost-based rates to cover that. The difference is they didn't know the whole point of the risk thing, and they talk about that, and the commission talks about that in the declaratory rehearing order at JA 294, paragraph 11, 15, and 15, and in the 2006 declaratory order, JA 289, paragraph 16 and 14. And these uncertainties were all about we're building this thing. We don't really know what it's going to involve. So they talk about how they're going to have significant engineering uncertainties, including the potential need for treatment facilities, the possible need to construct additional wells, and the difficulty in determining the price of base gas. Those are all things that are involved in constructing and starting the operation of the facility. And because you don't know what those are going to be, you can't set cost-based rates. Because you don't know what the costs are going to be, you don't know what your cost base is going to be. So that's not going to be true now that it's already operational. This is just a normal, we're operating and we have additional costs. So there's no reason that they couldn't cover those in a regular cost-based rate filing.
Well, yeah, that's of course true. Theoretically, cost-based rates cover costs.
And they're known now. Now they're known. Whereas before, during the pre-construction process, they're just not.
The hypothetical that Judge Garland and I were working on, new calls for investment become apparent. And I think we extracted from you the concession that under the Commission's view, it would appear to fit the statute to allow market-based rates in light of that. Right.
Yes. Based on all what I said.
I have another question. That is, does a passage of your brief, and this gets some attention in Northern's brief too, it's 22-23 of your brief. And you start out, Northern contends that the Commission's statement that Northern presented only a customer protection plan without any other justification supporting its request for resale market-based rate authority. And then you go on to characterize the argument that Northern extracts from that. Then you say, in fact, all that statement shows is that even if it permitted post-construction requests for market-based rate authority, Northern's request still could not be approved.
That's right.
What's a little puzzling to me, or maybe maybe what the Commission said here was dictum. And I say the language we're fighting about is dictum, because your answer there at page 23 seems to be that, yes, that would have been a sufficient reason for
that's right, Your
dismissing
Honor.
Northern.
And the Commission did say that at rehearing order JA 8, paragraph 17, that it only presented customer protection plan, it failed to provide any evidence to justify the authorization
right.
for market. Right. And so they didn't, and the Commission also pointed out that they didn't make a filing and declaratory request.
I guess we should treat it probably as a matter not of, let's say, the disputed ruling, not as dictum, but as a double holding with this. Because if you've agreed that this argument was sufficient to reject the filing, then the status of the disputed sentence or sentences is
well, again, that may be, but remember again in these orders, the Commission explained even if that sentence in the 2007 service agreement order said I'm talking about the sentence in the 2007 service agreement order. Yes.
I'm now moved on to
right.
the disposition in the rehearing order.
Right.
You're saying you weren't saying the language there said even if
they
had produced an argument, we would have rejected it.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying if you're raising the level of the 2007 service agreement order statement to non-dictum, and just the Commission pointed out, it really isn't an analysis of 4F. It's just a simple statement that didn't have any support or analysis behind it.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't be something that you can rely on for purposes of not having...
simple statement that's inconsistent with the current interpretation of 4F, right? It's just a simple statement. You've used a lot of language to talk about this sentence, and maybe there's no reasonable reliance on it, but...
That's really all that matters, I think, is whether there's reasonable reliance.
Right, that's for this...
For purposes of this case, all that matters is whether they could reasonably rely, and I just don't see how they could.
But you're also saying that this sentence is somehow consistent with what the Commission's doing now?
My point is that I think the Commission just didn't really think about what it relied on what Northern said in its answer, which is we don't know what's going to happen in the next 20 years. I don't see it as inconsistent with what the Commission's doing now, because now the Commission said we will look at that time and see what extent market-based rates should apply. So it just left it all fully as Judge Williams said. It just kicked it forward. We don't know what the situation's going to be in 20 years.
The declaratory order left this possibility open, is what the Commission said in 2007,
and
now it's closed, right?
And now it is closed, but the declaratory order left it open because what Northern asked for was market-based rates pre-construction for initial sales for that 20-year period. And it just didn't address whether The commission didn't address in the 2006 order whether you could have post-construction requests for resales. So it did leave the question open because the question wasn't presented to the commission. They didn't come to the commission and say we want it for initial sales and resales.
The point is that it wasn't closed in 2007. It was actually left open as a possibility in 2007, and then it's closed now.
That's right.
The question is whether there's reasonable reliance
That's
on
right,
the no. leaving express leaving open in 2007.
And in the circumstances where you told the commission that 4F is irrelevant to that case, it seems awfully hard to think that you can rely.
Yes, you started with an argument that, if I understood it correctly, that there was a certification proceeding in 2008,
yes.
which would have provided an occasion for Northern to scoop up its gains from that sentence and get them locked in.
That's right, Your Honor.
Okay.
They did file a clarification request in that case regarding operational matters after the 2007 service agreement order came out. So they did make a filing with the commission saying we need clarification on certain matters before we can accept our certificate.
Oh, so do we have that?
Yes, you do, Your Honor. That's at That is at my very helpful Alan.
Oh,
that's not helping right now.
It's
the 2007. There's the 2008 clarification rehearing order.
So the order is the one in the joint appendix at 3.
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Okay. And the application is the one at
349. At 394 to 395, and their request for expedited clarification is at 381 to 393 of the joint appendix. So they just asked for operational matters. I mean, they did have an opportunity post-2007 service order not only to seek rehearing of that order, which they didn't, but again to say here, we want to make sure that we maybe have a possibility, let's verify that, and or that we actually have the right to have these market-based rates. Thank you.
Questions? Thank you. Does Mr. Kelly have any time left? We'll give you another 2 minutes.
Thank you, Judge Garland. Just a few points. Council referred to Northern's answer several times or what the commission relied on. All of that's post hoc. There's nothing in the orders about Northern's answer. We don't have any trouble discussing it, but whatever council said is just her arguments. It's not the commission's. And the other statement she made.
That's true, but the panel is very familiar with Chenery, but it's still the case that we ask agency counsel all the time by means of hypotheticals what the implication of what the agency has done is. And to one degree or another, we rely on those answers.
We don't have any trouble discussing it, but I wanted to point that out. And one of her comments about that because we said in our answer that the commission could defer, Xcel raised two issues in 2007. They said the 2006 declaratory order barred an extension request by Northern and Section 4F, two arguments. We said you could kick it down the road. We did say that. But the commission didn't, if the commission agreed with us, they would have just said, we'll accept Northern's tariff language and we'll decide this later. Instead, they addressed specifically Xcel's issue and they said, no, they recited their arguments and they said, we don't agree. And the 2006 declaratory order specifically left open the possibility of Northern could seek an extension of market-based rates. And the suggestion by the commission counsel that because Northern said to defer, that we're not entitled to rely on an order, that's a really bizarre notion, that if parties file comments at agencies and say, take this action or don't address this issue, once the agency acts and issues an order, everyone can rely on it. The fact that you may not have suggested that they act on the merits on Xcel's protest doesn't undermine our reliance on the commission's 2007 tariff order.
What about the commission's answer to the hypothetical that Judge Garland raised, and does that change the nature of the case?
You mean on the first issue?
The issue about the hypothetical, you can't extend the capacity in 20 years. It becomes defunct capacity.
Well, listening to all that discussion, I'm not sure, and listening to counsel's answer, I don't know if we still have an issue or not. I mean, the point, one of the points that Commission counsel...
If we took her answer as stated, the concession, as Judge Williams described it, and we heard a yes to, what's left of the dispute?
Well, then, if we're free to apply for market-based rates based on the need to keep the capacity going and new investment, and the commission is agreeable to accept an application, then I'm not sure if we have any issue left. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Collins. All right, we'll take the matter under consideration. Give a brief recess, please.